flower farmers, are you looking to connect with florists who truly appreciate the beauty of locally grown blooms? And florists, do you wish you had access to fresh, high-quality flowers straight from the farm? Well, I have the perfect solution for you, farmerstoflorist.com. It is the ultimate marketplace designed to bring flower farmers and florists together in one easy platform. So as a farmer, you can showcase your seasonal availability, you can connect with florists, you can get your name out there, you get listed in the directory, and you can sell your flowers at premium prices without a middleman. And as a florist, you can get access to farm fresh, locally grown blooms that your customers will love. And these are going to be vetted farmers. These are going to be farmers that understand the quality that you need, and they're not going to just try to sell you 5 gallon buckets of whatever they have going on. So, no more scrambling to find the perfect flowers last minute. I would love for you guys to check out the link in the episode notes. Get signed up. We are still offering a special if it is available. The first 20 farmers to sign up for this platform get the setup fee waived. So you just have to pay the monthly premium. There is an entire episode explaining this, but go ahead, click the link, reach out to me if you have questions, and let me know what you need. Thanks. Welcome to Flower Farmer Forum, the podcast where growing and selling cut flowers isn't just a dream, it's a reality. With over 100,000 downloads, this is your go-to spot for everything you need to know about turning blooms into bucks. Whether you're looking for a little bit of extra cash or dreaming of scaling up to a full-fledged flower empire, we've got you covered. I'm your host, Liz Fidler, owner and operator of Sunny Mary Meadow Flower Farm in Minnesota. In just 5 years, I went from modest beginnings with $7,000 in sales to flourishing $200,000 operation, and I'm here to tell you it's absolutely possible. But remember, peddling perishable products requires careful planning and thoughtful intention. So let's roll up our sleeves and dive in. Ready to bloom and grow? Let's get started. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Flower Farmer Forum podcast. I'm your host, Liz Fidler Mergen, and today we are wrapping up part three of the podcast mini series, Find Your Flower Farm Fit, which is essentially find your revenue stream, figure out what type of ways you're going to sell your flowers. And in part three, we're going to discuss workshops, weddings, and working with florists. If you haven't listened to part one and part two, go back, listen to part one, which is essentially taking inventory of the resources that you have. Part two is kind of those low entry level options like a farm stand, subscriptions, stem bars, U-picks, that type of thing. And yeah, we're just going to dive into it. I really hope that you join us for the live webinar tonight. If you're listening to this on the day it comes out, May 5th, it is at 8 p.m. Central Time over Zoom. You have to register. We only have a few spots left. So if you haven't registered yet, go ahead and do that. But we'll talk about that a little more later. I also want to say that the first two parts of the episodes, I know that audio was a little bit weird. I messed up and didn't plug my microphone in correctly. So that is not a reflection on podcast producer Abby, and she's probably going to edit this out, but we'll see if she leaves it in there. But I just wanted to say, like, that was my operator error and why the sound quality wasn't as good. But I got everything plugged in right. So let's go. We're going to dive right into classes and workshops. So offering on the farm classes or floral workshops can be very rewarding and very profitable, especially if you enjoy teaching and creating community, especially because maybe you don't need that huge markup for supply and labor because you're doing 40 people at once. And then you can justify only a 2x markup or something like that because in bulk. And if you are joining on the webinar tonight, you'll see that what I have really built my business around is volume, right? So having more orders of the same type of orders, being able to replicate it. One of my favorite books that I've not shared about in a long time, but it's called 10X is Easier Than 2X. And it is so true. The profitability, the volume, the scale, you know, you're doing something, you know, trying to double your business revenue or trying to 10X your business revenue, it's actually a lot easier to 10X it. And so the same principles apply when you have these classes or workshops. And so the pros can be definitely a higher value per customer. So you can add that additional amount for the class, for the workshop. And it is also so great for community building and customer engagement. Your customers want to have an activity to do. And what I do is I make them seasonal, so themed. whether it's wreath making or a summer design night or a Thanksgiving class or a porch pot, you can have them different every single time. And, they can be, not super advanced. They can be just, make a centerpiece, make something that you're going to enjoy for a long time. So like a Christmas centerpiece and have it seasonal that they can use. Or I'm starting to experiment more with like design classes. Maybe there's no purpose to it. They just want to learn how to make a $150 centerpiece and they're going to have fun doing that. And maybe I only offer that once a year, but there are people who are willing and wanting to do that. However, there are some major cons to doing this. Not major cons, but just things you need to think about. So you need space, you need tables, you need tools. You might need insurance. You might need a special permit to be able to do these types of things. Do you have space to do it at your farm or are you going to do it offsite? They can be very time consuming to plan and to market, but they are some of the first things that I offered on the farm that felt like true connection points. I loved watching people learn to arrange and walk away with something that they're proud of, but I quickly realized that they required a lot of energy and coordination. So now I host fewer of them, but I do them really well and I charge accordingly. So if you're considering workshops, make sure your space is ready, that you enjoy the social and teaching side of your business. And you also need a reliable way to market and fill those seats because a half full class will very quickly eat your profit. So managing expectations too. Do you actually have enough flowers for your class? What's the plan if weather or, some sort of planting delay and you're like, oh, that beginning of July class is not going to happen. So you shouldn't be growing so many flowers that you always have excess because ideally you're crop planning tightly and selling out. So if workshops are part of your plan, they need to be built into your production calendar from the start. And so don't treat them like an afterthought or a bonus. Another tip that I'm going to share when it comes to classes, workshops, that type of thing, is there will probably be one person in each group of 3 to 5 that does not want to be here. And you can tell, like, why did they invite this friend? And they're just negative. And they're like looking around like, oh, why are we doing this? And it's just awkward. And they're like, don't like it. And they're needing more help. And that's okay. And I always approach it at the very beginning of every single class or workshop. I'm like, hey, who in here considers themselves crafty or artsy? And probably half of the room is going to raise their hand. I'm like, okay, great. And I'm like, who here is, literally having anxiety about how this is going to turn out? And there's always, one person in every group that raises their hand. And I'm like, okay, I will help you. I will come around and help you. But those people that just raised their hands and said that they're artsy or they're creative, look at them. They'll help you. And, they're here for a social thing, but they all of a sudden they're getting into it. And this is turning into something where like all eyes are on them. And so just be aware that sometimes, it's not as simple as designing. Like teaching something is very different than doing it yourself. So make sure that you enjoy that before you start adding them. They are fantastic for corporate events. And that's, I'm going to review it a lot in the webinar tonight. My options for basically why I built my space to be able to host these types of things. But a lot of corporate places have a budget for something exciting and being able to donate it or, it brings in the philanthropy piece or, one larger group writing the check. It definitely helps for those types of classes rather than selling tickets individually. All right. Next part is wedding and event florals. So weddings can be a fantastic revenue stream, but they are not for the faint of heart. So there's a lot to love and a lot to be mindful of. I went back and forth on doing these and, I was trying to do like DIY buckets. I was trying to, be more hands off. And what ended up happening was I ended up planning everything anyway and not having the profits. Like I would have brides send me their inspiration pictures. I would pick it apart. I would tell them exactly what kind of flowers they would need. Then they'd be like, well, this is how big my wedding is. And this is how many guests and this is how many bridesmaids. And what do you think? And I would end up like completely recipe planning for them. And now I'm taking on the entire responsibility. I don't want to quote them too many flowers that they need. And now they're going to be mad because they have all these extras or worse, not enough. And then you're still taking on that responsibility without that profit margin. And so, truly, if someone's like, no, we just want our own mason jars of centerpieces and we'll take buckets of whatever, That's one thing. But when they have a really clear vision of like very specific blooms and you got to plan it, it's just not profitable. And so I started really leaning into it. And then I ended up finding some employees with actual floral design experience. And then I invested in my own training because design and arrangements are way different than putting together bouquets. And so I got better at it. And then I started really offering it. Now, it's a major part of my business. And, it's great visibility. It's portfolio building. It's ideal if you grow focal flowers or statement pieces. However, client expectations and timelines are very, very intense. So design work, delivery, setup can be very overwhelming, and it requires contracts and consultations and reliable systems. I'm going to talk about it a little bit tonight in the webinar, the types of weddings that I do and how it makes sense for us. But we actually have an online farmer florist boot camp course that we held last year. We're going to hold it again live at the farm this summer, later this summer, that you can come and actually learn how to implement weddings at your farm. But you could buy the online version. Otherwise, look for that to come here in person. And once you do sign up for the webinar tonight, you're going to get a second email that says, "Hey, join the wait list for any on the farm workshops," and you'll be the first to like know exactly and let us know what types of events you're interested in as we're planning them for the rest of 2025. Taking a quick break from today's episode to share a little bit about my work as a professional speaker. In the next few months, I'm headed to Peoria, Illinois to speak to a room full of insurance professionals with a talk that I call "What's the Worst That Can Happen?" It's a no-fluff pep talk on the importance of life insurance backed by real life experience. Then I'll be in Western North Dakota a few months later at Fusion Conference, sharing how I built my thriving business by going deeper, not wider, with my customers, showing entrepreneurs and leaders the power of meaningful customer relationships over chasing every opportunity. Then, a few months after that, I'll be speaking at the Forum of Executive Women here in Minnesota, encouraging women in business that it's okay if you don't want to niche down. You can build an ecosystem, a life and business that reflects all of who you are. If your group, conference, or company needs a speaker who brings heart, humor, and hard-earned wisdom, someone who leaves audiences both fired up and deeply grounded, let's connect. I speak both in person and virtually all over the U.S. You can visit LizFidlerMergen.com to learn more, and I look forward to hearing from you. Anyway, getting back to the weddings. Sorry. So I started with small a la carte orders and like just personal flowers for the bride and bridesmaids. And I've now scaled up to full service weddings, installations, full weekend timelines. And honestly, some of our best paying weekends came from weddings, but also some of the most stressful moments come there. And so we focus on a more curated menu and we have a really streamlined booking process. So it's still a very solid revenue stream, but it's because we built the systems that support it. And if you're new to weddings, I mean, you're going to find out very quickly why florists charge what they do. They're not just selling flowers. They are selling timing, quality, reliability. You are taking on the pressure of a once in a lifetime event and you're working against the clock. So many new flower farmers start by selling flowers to brides, basically at close to wholesale pricing, thinking that's a great deal. But what do you do if the flowers aren't ready? What if you get a hailstorm? What if the variety that you promised them doesn't bloom in time? And so the amount of time that goes into every wedding, the consultation, the ordering, the harvesting, arranging, delivery, setup, it's a whole separate business. So if you want to go this route, just know it can be very profitable, but only if you value your time and protect your sanity and price accordingly. I explain just because I grow them doesn't mean they're any cheaper, because if a storm or, all of a sudden we have three really chilly weeks in August and I just don't have dahlias, I have to reach out. Like, I'm going to do what I can to reach out to another farmer 3 hours south of me. I'm going to be calling around and I'm going to get dahlias, but now I've got to pay for those. So that's why it's so profitable, the weddings are, because I basically buy the flowers almost from myself. I price them as a wedding florist and it's like a separate business than being the farmer. Like, I know what the wholesale price is of those flowers because I sell wholesale to florists, and I'm going to get into that. That's part three. So hold on. But it's like I price them that way in case I have to buy them from somewhere else. So it's like, whether I'm buying them for myself or from another flower farmer, that's how I price it. And that's the mentality I encourage you to go into it with. And then next up, we have selling to florists. So you guys have heard me talk about it, my new website, farmerstoflorists.com, the directory. But selling to florists is a completely different business model and one that can be very rewarding if you do it right. So when I first started selling wholesale to florists, I learned pretty quickly that success, it's not just the blooms. It's about learning how to present them in a way that makes sense to busy professionals working in a fast-paced industry. And I don't think I realized that until I started needing to supplement sometimes with wholesale myself and understanding exactly what kind of flowers they need and how to move that cooler and move that inventory and have a profitable business with a perishable product. They don't have extra money to just put at flowers that need to be used ASAP, right? They're so used to using imported flowers that last a long time. Not that, you know, our fresh flowers don't, but it's a whole different ball game. And so, you know, the great part is wholesale to florists, these sales can be very consistent if you build those relationships. Way less marketing is needed, like just reliability, quality, and it scales really well with your production. So you can grow to order for them, which helps streamline your planning. I'm really touching base with, you know, I've had like 15 florists within an hour of me because of my farmerstoflorists.com page, and they've reached out. I've never even heard of them. There are a lot of studio florists. I'm meeting with them over Zoom. I probably won't be able to meet their needs this year, but now I know that I can grow to order completely for them next year. And it's going to work so much better. And like, just have that plan in mind of like, what kind of flowers do you need? When do you need them? The cons can be, you know, the pricing per stem, if you do exclusively retail, can be, you know, less than, you know, wholesale versus resale pricing. But I'm willing to bet, don't take this the wrong way if you're listening to it, are you even pricing the way you should anyway? So maybe that's okay. But I just paid $24.99 for 10 stems of ranunculus. I just paid $39.99 for 10 stems of butterfly ranunculus. I just paid $17.99 for 10 stems of stock. I believe the same for delphinium for prom flowers. And like, that's what the wholesalers are paying. No farmer around here has anything ready yet. You know, that's what I ended up doing. And so like, that's the pricing that florists are paying, which is insane. They're paying $250 a stem for ranunculus right now. And mine's going to be ready in 3 weeks. Like, don't bat an eye at charging $250 a stem to a florist, let alone as a farmer to your retail people. Another con can be just that those really high expectations. Your florists are going to have the highest expectations, that consistency, that vase life, and, you know, it requires an understanding of their expectations, like bunch sizes, stem length, cooler life, that type of thing. And, you know, I think that I shared this episode a couple weeks ago, but I'm going to kind of go through it again. But here's my tips that really helped me in marketing to florists. So sell them in increments of 10 and tell them the price per stem. So it makes ordering and pricing so much easier for florists who are constantly doing that mental math. And then, you know the going rate. You know, it's not by, oh, it's this much a bunch. Make sure that they know, like, it's this much per stem and a bunch of 10. So check what wholesaler and other growers are charging so that you stay competitive without undervaluing your work. And then make sure that you curate, but don't overwhelm. So don't try to push things that you know they're probably not going to like. Now, if you can give them a tour of your farm, that is fantastic. But bring in a clean, intentional sample that is stripped, labeled, you know, just make sure that it's there. The next biggest tip I have for selling to florists is remember that not every florist will be your florist, and that's okay. So the ones that understand and value local, that it's a seasonal product, that's who you aim for. And then make sure that you present yourself like a pro. So communicate clearly, send those invoices, make ordering easy, use systems, you know, make sure you're not accidentally charging them sales tax, whatever, get your books squared away. So the thing about selling to florists, keep in mind that it's not just about moving product in the summertime, like that week. It's about building partnerships. You really can build your business around this if you develop that partnership and you know that they're going to have those consistent orders. But you have to show up reliably, understand their needs, make it easy for them to work with you, and they'll keep coming back. So remember also, if you're not already on farmerstoflorists.com directory, go check it out. There's still a lot of farmers that need to do their onboarding. I knew this was going to happen. I knew I'd have like 20 people signed up that are like, oh, let me get my directory going soon. And they're not too worried because they're not going to have flowers ready to go until like July anyway. A lot of these annuals and stuff, they don't have things to sell here in the spring, but it's going to get busy and like getting signed up. So they're signed up. They just haven't had their Zoom call with me yet to actually make their page. But yeah, just keep checking on that. And if you're interested in joining, we welcome. And I really think that it's starting to take off. So that is it for this three-part series in finding your fit. What avenue are you going to sell your flowers? So tonight, and we covered everything from basics to advanced offerings and how to figure out what your flower farm looks like. But don't forget, tonight, it's going to be entirely different from the webinar series. But I'm going to break down exactly how my business evolved from a $7,000 side hustle summer of 2020 to a predicted revenue stream for 2026 of over $500,000. And I know that sounds insane. I don't want it to sound like I'm bragging. I don't want to sound whatever, but it's walking you through like our multi-use building expansion, showing you what our offerings we've added, we've changed, we've let go of, and why. We're also going to talk about how this space is going to help you grow too, because we're going to plan on using it for a lot of workshops. So the link to register is in the show notes. It's not too late to join. Plus, when you sign up, you're going to get follow-up emails with big-time discounts, including our stem bar course, our crop planning course, all of those for only $30. And there's other offers that you don't want to miss. So thank you for being part of this series. Bloom and grow. I will see you tonight on the webinar. I'm really excited to just use my farm as an example of what we had, what we got rid of, what we kept, and how we decided to just continue to evolve, not just in the revenue, but like how we can reliably do that. And what that really looks like and what that really means. And like, okay, yeah, oh my God, $500,000. She's making $500,000. No, I'm not. We're going to talk about like the real expenses that are going into that. But the way we built something that's sustainable in a way that it's sustainable for the people doing the work. It's sustainable with very few part-time employees. It's sustainable for my family. It's sustainable in that it's making it still even more fun, more enjoyable. And that doesn't include anything of my speaking, my podcast, my courses, none of that. Like that's all entirely separate. And so I really want to share like the farm stuff itself. And I really hope that it inspires you or helps you. So see you tonight in the webinar. Thanks. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Flower Farmer Forum. If you enjoyed today's show and want to dive deeper into the world of growing and selling cut flowers, be sure to check out our website. There you'll find every episode in written blog form, plus courses and one-to-one coaching options to help you on your flower farming journey. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Flower Farmer Forum and join our Facebook page to connect with other passionate listeners and flower enthusiasts. If you're local and want to see what we're up to, visit us at sunnymarymeadow.com or find us on Instagram and Facebook at Sunny Mary Meadow for my flower farm. We'd love your support. Please leave us a 5-star review and share this episode with a friend who might find it fantastic. Until next time, keep growing, keep blooming, and keep making your flower farm dreams a reality.
Flowers, flowers, we love flowers. Sunny Mary Meadow, they smell so good. SunnyMaryMeadow.com.